We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Lord Jehovah reigns in majesty. We will bow before His throne. We will worship Him in righteousness. We will worship Him alone. So hallelujah to the King of Kings, hallelujah to the Lamb, hallelujah to the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. It's always good, and we had a wonderful camp board meeting yesterday, a lot of plans being made for the future. You know, we had right at 1,000 children to come to camp this year. And this particular fall of the year, we've got every weekend somebody's out at camp, doing a retreat, doing a family reunion, doing something at camp, and where camp is benefiting from their coming to the places out there. Of course, everything is now air-conditioned throughout the cabins and everything, so they're sleeping longer and staying longer and all this sort of thing there at camp. Good to be with you today. I look forward very much to the study with you today in this particular series of lessons that we're doing. I don't know how many people listen to us on the internet. I know it's between 3,000 and 5,000 every single month that listen to our Crockett MS Church of Christ website. There are some brethren down in Belize that have sent word along the way. They start walking on Friday, and they walk all the way to where they get to, and as they get there to listen to the internet system and study with us at the Crockett MS Church of Christ.com. All the speakers who come here are heard by them and one thing and another, and they study the matters that are presented. They open their Bible up, they talk to one another about it, and along the way they've walked all the way to Saturday afternoon when they get there, and then they'll study that particular matter and they'll start their way back after worship on the Lord's Day, back up the mountainsides in Belize to where their homes are located, where they can grow the bananas and potatoes and other things for sale and for use and for eating and everything there in that country, the Central American country of Belize. They asked for a few more songs to sing. And you know what? Since they do that, I'm going to furnish a few more songs for them to sing. Of our singing here, that's good. We record it real, real good. You can hear it on the internet site yourself and know what we're talking about. What a wonderful thing it is to have that done. Good to have you here today. Good to have our visitors here today. Our study is about the Church of our Lord today and the concept that is real lived in the book of Ephesians. If you would turn there in the book of Ephesians, you will see just exactly what I'm talking about when I say that there are three sets of teaching about the Church of the Lord in the book of Ephesians. In chapter 1, the last few verses of this chapter, it speaks regarding the body of Christ. And in chapter 3 and at verse 10, it speaks regarding the eternal purpose of God in the church throughout all ages. And later on, he talks about glorifying God in this church in chapter 3. And then in chapter 5, he speaks regarding the bride of Christ being the church. There are those who tell us, and because of the fact that they do not know these things and are not aware of them enough, they tell us that the church is not important, that worship in the church is not important. Well, it was important enough that in 1 Corinthians, when they messed up the Lord's Supper, Paul noted to them in 1 Corinthians 11, beginning verse 20, that they were eating and drinking condemnation to their souls as they partook of the bread and drank the fruit of the vine, along with the other foods that they were eating. They were eating and drinking condemnation to their souls. Was it important how they worshiped the Lord? It was important how they worshiped the Lord. Do you want to eat and drink condemnation to your soul? Do you want to know that every bar parcel that you bite and eat and everything is condemnation? You want to know that every ounce that you drink is condemnation? And you're claiming to be in a worship service to the Lord? The idea of that is just something that's preposterous. And the concept of our worship of God is to do it in truth. And notice that God said He is a spirit. and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, in John 4, verse 24. But in John 4, verse 23, it is said, the Father seeketh such to worship him. He seeks true worshipers to worship him. And when we come together to worship the Lord, our minds should not be back at home or on the road of our travel that we're going to this afternoon or whatever activities we'll be a part of. Our minds should be centered on the idea that we're bowing before Him that is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We're bowing before Him because we thank Him for the salvation that He's offered to us, but also we thank Him for the privilege to be gathered together, encouraging one another to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Last week we had 42. We missed that particular number. And today I think we missed the number 24. Bill and Nell were here earlier and she had to go home. And that's 26 people were here today. But the 26 is not the 45, not the 40 that we've had a few weeks ago. We've got people that come and they go and they're part of things. And we want them to be a part of the services wherever they go, because we're members of the Church of the Lord around the world. As we go about our activities, we find ourselves meeting brethren. Isn't it an encouragement that you receive when you meet brethren in those places and they receive from your visit into their place? Isn't it a wonderful thing to be able to know that you're part of the Church of the Lord and that you're part of the activities of the church wherever you go in this world? The opportunity to be there is good because, again, let's go back to Ephesians chapter 1. We are in the church, the body of Christ. Look what he notes there in Ephesians 1, beginning at verse 21. Far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and given him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Jesus fills all in all the needs and cares of mankind. Isn't it wonderful to have a Savior like that? We studied this morning in 1 John chapter 1 how that he's in fellowship with the Father and the Son. And we who have the privilege of confessing our sins, he is in fellowship with us and offers full forgiveness of us. And wonderful blessing that we have in relationship to him. Well, he is also the fullness of God that filleth all in all. And he is in this part that he fills it by way of the body of Christ. We may find ourselves being a little finger, but that little finger, if you're missing it, is very important to your hand. You'll find that out. You may be a thumb, but that little thumb, if it's missing, you'll find out how important it is in turning the wheel of an automobile or anything else. You'll find out how important that thumb is. If you're missing a foot or a toe, you find out how often that is needed as well, much less other important parts of the body. We find ourselves in the body fulfilling the purpose of God, fulfilling the work of the Lord, telling others about this wonderful blessing and this wonderful forgiveness and this wonderful hope that we have. And we find ourselves actively involved with the Church of the Lord. It is noteworthy that those who have spoken regarding the church and the ideas that the church is old hat and it's not important to me anymore and this thing and I were made to come as a child to church, I hope they hear this by virtue of the internet site, because they really are speaking where they really do not have that degree of reading in the Scripture. The Scripture says here, the church is the fullness of him that filleth all in all. In the body of Christ, we're to actively be involved. We see needs of others. There are those around us who are thieves. There are those around us who are alcoholics. There are those around us who are not doing the right thing at all by their family, by their children, by themselves. And we can encourage, we can help. Wonderful encouragement to be given. Brother J.A. Thornton talked about this back many years ago when he was about 70 years of age. Boy, he did a fine lesson, a powerful lesson. But he said when he began preaching, he just as a young man did not put it together right at all. He said the middle was at the beginning and the beginning was in the end and the end was at the beginning and there's all kind of things there. He said he preached a sermon in a place just north of Tipplersville where
Nobody would have understood anything said. But he took his normal place at the back of the building there as they were exiting, and taking the words of encouragement to him, good preaching young man, we're glad that you're here, we're glad you showed up today, we're glad we had this service with you today and everything, we enjoyed you singing, we enjoyed you preaching, knowing full well that they couldn't have gotten anything out of the sermon. He had this little lady that come out. She was much shorter than he, and she just reached up and grabbed him by the head and his neck and pulled him down to her and whispered to him, Brother Thornton. She, in fact, called him by his name, Brother Gene, J.A. Thornton. She said, Brother Gene, I got something really good out of that sermon you delivered today. Then she led his head back up. And he would often say this, to this good day, now he's 70 years old, I don't know what in the world she got that was good in that sermon. But then he would quickly say, but I know what she gave me. She gave me a word of encouragement to try again. And so he based his whole preaching life on trying again. I've been trying to preach the gospel for 65 years, he said. Well, I'm getting closer to that 65-year period of time. I'm not quite there, 65 years of time. But I'll tell you what, it's a joy to have that story to say, we brethren need to give one another a more word of encouragement from time to time. It's good to have a phone call in our day and time. It's good to have a visit to come by. It's good to have somebody to say something at a door or whatever. You give me a word of encouragement. In the body of Christ, we find a better step in our walk. We find a better opportunity to be a friend to others. We find a better chance to do good when we have a word of encouragement. Let's be the member of the body of Christ that does that, frequently does that. Won't it be a shame to meet the Lord at the judgment day and find ourselves looking at Him as He goes down the listing of the things of our lives. And he says, I see that you made a lot of money. I see that you did this kind of work. I see that you did this kind of stuff. I don't see many in your family that you encouraged. I don't see many of your friends you encouraged. I don't see much of the words of encouragement that you ever spoke in your life on earth. Let's change that today. Let's be a people who are the body of Christ, encouraging others. In Ephesians chapter 3, significance is given to the statements. It is noted that God set forth the church in the eternal purpose of the Lord. In Ephesians chapter 3, we go to verses number 9, 10, and 11 right here today. Ephesians 3 at 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. What is the church? The church is in the eternal purpose of God. Jesus didn't come to earth and say, I will build my church and the gates of torment or gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. In Matthew 16, verse 18. Just to say that it's an incidental thought. It's something that came to mind. It's something that we didn't plan to do, but we may as well do it. It was in the eternal purpose of God for the church to come into existence. And to be by way of the church the proof to mankind that there was the manifold wisdom of God involved in that church. Now I know that other verses tell us to go out and to teach others, to bear fruit for the Lord, like we read in John 15, that we're to bear fruit for Him. But this verse is not telling us to bear fruit so much as it is praising the Father of Heaven, who is having the church to be manifold in His presence, identifying the manifold wisdom of God. Here we are identifying that, seeing that as God sees us to be people who care about others, who care about the lost, who send the missionaries to various places of the world, wonderful blessings can be a part of their growth and they can be ever more thankful. The brethren at Corinth were urged to be thankful for the brethren in Jerusalem who had sent them the gospel and sent them the message of the Lord. It is the case that you and I find ourselves in the eternal purpose of God when we're in the church of our Lord. We're in a meaningful position with Him. And as we identify this, the church of the Lord, we're identifying the eternal purpose of God. We need to be people who, as we read in the scripture, who speak regarding how they live and how they do. In Romans chapter 16, when he says, salute one another with a holy kiss, the churches of Christ salute you. And then quickly says in Romans 16, verse 17, mark them that cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine you've learned of us, and avoid them. They are such that do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but they serve their own belly. And by good words and fair speeches, they deceive the hearts of the simple. Did he want people just to be religious as they live here on earth? Did he want them just to believe anything and teach just anything that came to their minds? Or did he want them to mark those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine and avoid them? They are such that do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ. They serve themselves very well. They get a lot of money and a lot of food and a lot of things, and for their belly's sake, they are rewarded. But not in the long run do they reward others and help others to do the right things. We're to be people then in the eternal purpose of God who carry about the work of the Lord in our daily walk of life. Now quickly getting on to the fifth chapter. One cannot miss this at all. Reading it just lightly, you cannot miss the idea that the Lord has His bride being the church. In Ephesians chapter 5, beginning verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Verse 32. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. When we started out in Ephesians 1, we saw that the church is identified as the body of Christ. And in Ephesians 3 and 11, that it's in the eternal purpose of God. That means that the body, the church, was in the eternal purpose of God. Just as the church word is used in Ephesians 3 to speak of God's building the church and being a part of that, glorifying Him. As we read in Ephesians 3, look at the last two verses of that chapter once again. Now unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the divine power that resteth in us, unto Him be glory in the church throughout all ages, world without end. Do we have a responsibility toward the church? We do indeed. We have a privilege. We're to glorify, put light upon God. We're to glorify throughout all ages, world without end. No matter what our circumstances of life may be, we are to put light upon God. There's a good man down in Florida. He was a man who did not have legs to walk on. But he had a friend who would come by and pick him up. He would go out and visit various people. He had prosthesis, types of legs and all, and he would go up to the door, knock at the door. And he would inquire of them if they would allow him to give them a Bible study tract, a little booklet. In the process of having that booklet to discuss with them, he reached hundreds of people in his lifetime. What did he have? He had the one thing more important than anything mentioned here. In the church, he was glorifying God throughout all ages, world without end. He was bringing God's light to them. They saw things that he showed them in the scripture that they had never seen before, never understood before. What a blessing it has been for his life and for theirs. Now back to Ephesians 5. This type of love is to be a type of love for the lost, as a love that a man would have for his wife and a wife have for her husband. For it is the bride of Christ that he loves and gave himself for. It is the case that the church being the bride of Christ, who can miss the idea that if I'm missing from the church and I'm missing from worship and I'm missing from the events of the church and activities when they go on, that it's the same as if I were never home or frequently not at home? Will love grow and deepen without the presence of that individual? Or would it be much easier, much better to have that person come home and be a part of the home and be a part of the love that exists of the couple? Wouldn't you think that that applies to the spiritual walk of life? That as we gather and as we sing and pray and participate in the Lord's Supper and make a gift, a proof of our love for the work of the Lord, and pray that it be used in for good things here and hereafter, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing to have them to be a part of the service that honors that bride without blemish, without spot, or any such thing? For we know that as we read this morning in 1 John 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We can be people who find ourselves reminded of that as we gather together. And of course, the very favorite verse of scripture by years gone by, some used, and I think some just took it for granted that it was there in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. He says to brethren, do not forsake the assembly of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhort one another daily, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Probably there, the day in that context is the day of judgment. In view of the day of the judgment, do not forsake the assembly of yourselves together. Now that word forsake carries a lot of meaning with it. Brother Bill, get back in the studies with us on Wednesday night and look up that word forsake, and it'll be a long line of things there about this. It's the idea not just of not being there. There are a lot of times in our lives, sad to say, there are illnesses that happen on Sunday. We'll not be there. But we haven't forsaken the assembly of ourselves together. We haven't forsaken ourselves. Forsaking is to put away from thought and opportunity to serve and anything associated with that. To forsake that item, forsake that sin, forsake wrongdoing, forsake a friendship, forsake the church and its worship. I could care less. That ought to be a convicting thing to our hearts. I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be that way. I want to enjoy the benefits of this study. And those who study with us by way of the internet site, perhaps it is the case that you see the benefit of that verse in Hebrews 10, 25 and 26, in which we're not to forsake the assembly of ourselves together, in the fact that the church is described in Ephesians 5 as the bride of Christ. We're married to Him. We're looking forward to being with Him eternally. And the opportunity for us is great. If we glorify Him throughout all ages, we're without end in the church. If we factually study and be a part of activities, doing what we can do as a member of the body of Christ, we find the church in a beautiful relationship with us as we live in this world. The song of invitation provided today, if you're subject to Jesus' invitation and you have slipped away from His work and His way, won't you come back today? In repentance and prayer in Acts chapter 8 at verse 20, Simon was restored to the way of the Lord. That can be done today. And as he was restored, he was thankful that none of the bad things which Simon Peter was telling him was going to happen to him would come upon him. What a blessing it is. Come as we stand together and as we sing this good hymn.
Be always pure and good. Would you walk with Him within the narrow road? Would you have Him bear your burden, carry all your load? Let Him have His way with thee. His power.